what's up, everybody? My name is David E.J. Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter. And you are now listening to Training Camp Dialed In. I'm bringing you the best of the day's news from the 2019 NFL training camps. And most days, not all days, but most days, I'll be featuring phone calls with writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. There's a reason there's a phone in the pod logo, folks. I'll be getting their first-hand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all August long, as I'll be bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with fantasy football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. This is season 2, people. We did this all last August. We're doing it all this August. So stick around. Let's have some fun. And we are back. Presented, as always, by Dynasty Happy Hour. At DynastyHHPod on Twitter. I want to start out with a big thank you to Eddie the Editor, at Edward Fairchild. I would actually sound even worse if it wasn't for him. I know that's hard to believe, but it's possible. But hey, I'm doing my thing here. This is episode 8, the Ocho. So we are coming at you about every 2 days, which puts us on a pace to finish all 32 teams by week 4. Oh, but I'll say this. This team is working its tail off to bring you as many as we can do in August. But when you're so niche, so short run, so on the fly, you can only do so much. But you can feel it out in the ether. The excitement for fantasy is building. Home leagues are firing up. Live drafts are happening. I have my own live draft this weekend at Shea Burger. And to say I'm excited would be an understatement. But maybe not as excited as chart-topping Coachella headlining pop star Billie Eilish is about pooping.
Pooping is my favorite part of the day. There was one day I pooped 8 times. That was the best day of my life. And they were all solid, good poops, too. Like, no, like, bullshit poops. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't like, I'm done. I wasn't also like, those are the bad poops. When you poop, I'm really talking about poop out here. I love pooping, dude. But here's the thing. It's really about your diet.
So true, Billy. So true. And if you want to have a healthy draft, as solid as Billie Eilish's bowel movements, you need the right diet of fantasy football information. And you came to the right place. Because you're about to get a plate full of certified organic, non-GMO, hormone-free, not to mention gluten-free, Buffalo Bills information. I'm talking to Matt Perino. He's the Buffalo Bills beat reporter for NewYorkUpstate.com and Syracuse.com, and he's a member of PFWA, the Professional Football Writers of America. I know a lot of you out there listening would love to be in that. So Matt is definitely someone you're going to want to take notes from today. You can find him at Matt Perino on Twitter. We have a pro here, people. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Perino.
Hello.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, David. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Thanks for talking with me. You're my first brand new guest of 2019. Everyone I've spoken with before, I spoke to last year. So thanks for hopping on with me. And you're also our first Bills reporter. So thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Well, why don't we hop right in here? I always like to start with a quick review of the previous year, and 2018 was a bit of a downturn after the Bills' playoff berth the previous season. Offensively, this team actually had a top-9 rushing attack with over 1,900 yards on the ground, but through the air, it was a different story. They were next to last in passing yards with just under 2,800 and dead last in passing TDs with only 13. This combination led to a bottom-3 finish in points scored overall with only 269. Obviously not great for fantasy gamers, but it's a new season now. And from what you've seen at camp, what are head coach Sean McDermott and offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, am I saying that right?
Daboll.
And Brian Daboll putting together in terms of scheme and formations that's going to see this Bills team roam into the red zone a little bit more this season?
Well, you know, looking back to 2018, you bring up the rushing statistics, and most of that was actually, you know, on the strength of quarterback Josh Allen, who was kind of a surprise in terms of his rushing ability and led to, you know, the second half of the season, those last six games from a fantasy perspective, he finished that six-week stretch as the number one fantasy quarterback in the NFL. So I think that one thing that surprised me as someone who kind of pays attention to the fantasy football trends is that experts are a little bit more high on Josh Allen because of his size, his speed, his athleticism, and his willingness to run in the red zone. And I think one of the areas of the 2019 Bills offense that is expected to be much better is Allen's consistency and effectiveness in that short to intermediate passing game. What they did in the offseason is they brought in another downfield threat in John Brown. But, you know, what doesn't get a lot of pub is the fact that he's kind of a well-rounded receiver, very adept at, you know, every branch of the route tree. He knows how to get separation, get open, and impact, make an impact in all levels of the field. And then they brought in slot receiver Cole Beasley, who spent the entirety of his career with the Dallas Cowboys, and he's known for his quick feet, his ability to get separation in a very short amount of time after the snap. And we've already seen those two players have a significant impact on Josh Allen and his ability to make plays throughout training camp, practice, and even in the first preseason game. So I think the goal is to be more, to keep the offense on the field more. There was a lot of three and outs last year. There was a lot of, you know, question marks that were brought up about, you know, that Sean McDermott's, you know, offensive philosophy and the fact that the run game wasn't successful in 2018 from a running back's perspective. LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory, they had a very bad offensive line. They went out and they kind of retooled quite a bit. But I think that the goal is going to be to pass more, and we're seeing that. The first preseason game that Brian Daboll dialed up eight straight pass plays in the first offensive drive. So, yeah, they made a lot of changes. I think Brandon Bean across the board for his work in free agency and through the draft has been one of the has probably been one of the highest graded front office people in the NFL this offseason with what he's been able to do. As they came in 3 years ago, tore it all down, got rid of all of Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley's players, and now have their entire their brand of football in place in terms of this roster. So this is a big year for not only the Bills and Josh Allen, but for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean.
With the addition of John Brown and Cole Beasley, are we seeing more 11 packages, like three wide receiver sets instead of two tight ends, or what are we seeing in terms of how this offensive team is lining up?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of three wide receiver sets, four wide receiver sets, but they also They're one of the few teams in the NFL that still believe in keeping a fullback on the roster. So you'll see Patrick DeMarco out there in a lot of two-back sets and even spread out wide. Brian Daboll, you know, he comes from the Patriots model. Like, he wants to utilize every offensive weapon that he has. You'll see a lot of running backs, Frank Gore, rookie Devin Singletary and LeSean McCoy spread out wide and on certain plays. And I think that that's one of the areas that they want to be better in as well this year, is finding a way to get LeSean McCoy, Devin Singletary, their rookie third-round draft pick, more involved in the passing game, because that just provides another short outlet for Josh Allen to work and to build some consistency. And, you know, I think Cole Beasley and John Brown, what they do and what's an interesting kind of narrative going into the season is they kind of shift the roles that Zay Jones and Robert Foster carved out for themselves last year. Robert Foster became that downfield threat, that big game changing type of receiver. And Zay Jones was kind of that consistent, playing out of the slot a lot of times, leading the team in targets and receptions in most games. So, they now have spent a lot of money and brought in some new receivers, but that changes the kind of entire situation in terms of that wide receiver room. So, yeah, I think that they're going to throw it. They're going to spread it out. And I think that they're going to try to force teams to stop Josh Allen in this short passing game. And that's when you can go downfield, and that's when he can use his legs. And they think that they got a recipe for success in that.
Well, let's go to Josh Allen next. Through the 2018 draft process, there was no prospect who was more maligned than quarterback Josh Allen. In fact, draft Twitter often devolved from simply criticizing his skills to full-on Jeff Ross-style roasting him. But then the 2018 NFL season kicked off, and when it was all said and done, the kid kind of balled, especially for fantasy, and especially on the ground with over 600 yards and 8 touchdowns, as you've mentioned. Obviously, as a quarterback, though, you want to be known for your arm, and he's got a cannon, even if you need to watch out when he lets it go. What kind of camp has Allen had, and can we expect more? You've mentioned they're focusing on the passing. Can we expect more accuracy, which will then lead to production?
I mean, I don't think that Josh Allen is ever going to be a 65-66% completion percentage quarterback. He just, when you have the kind of arm that he has, and he led the league last year and throws over 20 yards, how many times he attempted. So I think when you take those kind of chances, and, you know, there are a few, you know, technical little issues with, you know, his short game. I mean, there's just times where he does everything right with his feet, he does everything right with his arm, and he still, you know, isn't on target. So I think that that's going to be an issue over the course of his career. But we've seen plenty of quarterbacks over time that, you know, maybe didn't have that elite completion percentage, but made enough big plays to make up for it. And what this team showed last year is that in the games that the defense turned the ball over, gave Josh Allen and his offense short fields to work with, that's when they were at their best on both sides of the ball. And what they did on defense is add Ed Oliver up the middle, who's going to cause some disruption, some pass rush. And I think that's not only going to have an impact from the interior pass rush, but I think it's going to have an impact on Jerry Hughes, who led the NFL in pressure rate in 2018. So now you have a tag team partner in Ed Oliver who can kind of help you get after the quarterback. And I think we're going to see the sack number for Jerry Hughes take a huge spike this season. And if you're getting to the quarterback, you're getting sacks, you're forcing punts, you're forcing mistakes and turnovers. And when those turnovers happen and this team can get the ball and quickly attack, you know, in the other team's zone, I think that's when they're going to be their most effective. And I think, you know, I think Josh Allen is still his most dynamic weapon is his legs and his willingness to run. I mentioned that earlier. He, if the pocket breaks down, and listen, they have an improved offensive line, and we can talk about that, but there's going to be moments when you know, he holds onto the ball or defenders are in his face, and he's got to, you know, kind of change things up on the fly and get out of the pocket, get into the second level of the defense, and he has a willingness to do that. He has a willingness to take hits, and he showed last year that some of these moves that he had against Anthony Barr in Minnesota and Kiko Alonso in Miami, that, you know, his athleticism and his quickness and shiftiness, you know, make him a dangerous runner. So I definitely think that we're going to see a spike in terms of production in both the passing and the run game. But I think you're going to see a significant one in the passing game because of all the weapons and because of the kind of shift in mindset of this offense in terms of wanting to maybe throw it a little bit more, being more comfortable to throw it. You have to have the players around your quarterback to trust and to put him in the right situation, especially as a second year player, to go out there and kind of take some chances and air it out a little bit. And now with Beasley in the fold, Brown in the fold, they like their three tight ends once they're all healthy. I think they're gonna take a lot of chances this year, and you can see some production uptick.
Matt, that was some absolute fire Josh Allen content right there, and a little bit of IDP information for those fantasy gamers that like to play the defensive guys, so thank you for that. I want to touch quickly on Tyree Jackson before we move on from the quarterbacks. A lot of Dynasty Twitter is interested in him. What have you seen from Tyree?
So Tyree's an interesting situation. I watched him at the University of Buffalo, obviously being, you know, local, and I actually graduated from there, so I saw him play quite a bit. And, you know, there's definitely some limitations to his game, where I feel like he's even more, like, a much more raw prospect than Josh Allen ever was, but they have a lot of similarities. I mean, I've not seen many quarterbacks throw on the run with the velocity and the accuracy that Tyree Jackson is able to accomplish. And I think that I'd almost argue that he's a better thrower on the run than he is stationary in the pocket. And it's crazy because you see him on the practice field and he towers over Josh Allen. I mean, he's massive. He's like 6'7", I'm pushing 6'8" in pads and the helmet. He's just a big-bodied, athletic guy that can run. And so, yeah, there's a lot of upside, but there's a reason that he didn't get drafted. So some of the some of the throws that he makes, you can see the issues from a technical perspective. And also, you know, when Josh Allen throws it down the field, when Aaron Rodgers throws it up Baker Mayfield, you see the zip on the ball, you see the placement, you see the, you know, just the crispness of the passes. Tyree throws wobblers. And a lot of times, you know, the downfield accuracy isn't there. And, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, if you have some room on a dynasty team and you want to, you know, throw him, stash him away. If you have that kind of ability, yeah, maybe that might be a consideration. But I'd even wait a year just to see where he lands, because right now it's not looking like he's going to make this team. They have a lot of position battles going on, and it's not going to be a situation where I think they could keep three quarterbacks. And I think that if he is cut, there's a potential for him to land somewhere else. So if he lands in a more advantageous place, then I think he becomes a little bit more valuable. But a lot of kinks to work out with Tyree.
I'd like to put out in the world that if you're a Tyree Jackson truther, you should call yourself a wobbler now. How about that, Matt?
I mean, I hate to say that, because listen, I like him. He's, you know, arguably the best quarterback in UB history. And so he's done a lot for the local college football scene here, and obviously UB football was really good last year too. But, you know, got to call it like you see it. And his pro day was really just real bad, and he struggled quite a bit. And I think that that's what might have really hit his draft stock the hardest. And even going back to the Senior Bowl, where he kind of underperformed a bit as well. So he's got some work to do, but he's actually in a great situation, I think, if the Bills somehow decided to keep three or he lands on the practice squad, because he can learn. He's already working with Jordan Palmer, who works with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold out in California in the offseason, and now in Buffalo with Allen, who's a similar style of quarterback, a mobile, big-arm quarterback. He can kind of sit behind him and learn from him. They have Ken Dorsey now as the quarterback's coach, tons of experience at the college pro level. So, you know, it's going to be fun to track, you know, the course of his career.
Let's talk about the guys that Josh and Tyree are throwing to next. You've mentioned John Brown and Cole Beasley. I don't want to talk about them too much more, but they are new in town. Is it a case of new city, same guys, or are they deploying them a little bit differently out there?
I think John Brown's upside, you know, you go back to that one season in Arizona, I believe it was maybe 14 or 15, I can't remember the year off the top of my head, but where he went over 1,000 yards, and it looked like he was kind of blossoming into this superstar receiver, and alongside Larry Fitzgerald out there, and it's never really clicked, you know, consistently for 16 games since. He's dealt with a lot of injury issues, obviously had the sickle cell trait, and then the spine issue as well. He told me that this, since I've met him, and I actually put out a story on him early in camp, that he's felt better than he has in 3 or 4 years, and now he's in a situation where, you know, the experts will tell you, the NFL pro scouts will tell you, that what makes John Brown so exceptional and so dangerous is his ability to separate and his ability to be that burner downfield. He's almost a dual threat in that way. And you can kind of put him anywhere. I saw them at one point, they ran an end around with him in training camp. And he's going to be asked to do everything. They think that he's the game-changing number one wide receiver. I'm almost positive, with all of the, you know, higher marquee names on the free agent market, the Bills tap John Brown to come in here and be their number one, even with, you know, guys like Golden Tate and Tyrell Williams and some of the other guys that were available through free agency. They wanted him last year when he decided to go to Baltimore. So I think that if you're looking at how the targets are going to go, I still think Zay Jones is going to get a heavy load of targets. But I think John Brown's going to be the guy that consistently is making the biggest plays and is also always going to be involved in the offense. And I think, you know, I know you said bold prediction later in the thing, but while we're on the wide receivers now, I think one of my bold predictions for the season is that Cole Beasley is going to catch 100 passes. They're using him so much. They are already, Cole Beasley missed the entire spring as he was dealing with a core muscle surgery rehabilitation. So he wasn't able to start practicing with Josh Allen until the start of training camp 3 weeks ago. And the chemistry that I've witnessed, being able to watch open practice and close practice over the course of the last month, has been leaps and bounds from the start to the beginning. I think not only is Josh Allen going to benefit from Cole Beasley's experience with Tony Romo and Dak Prescott and, you know, the offenses that he's played in, but I think that because of the way that Josh Allen can get the ball on a receiver in those short to intermediate routes. And if they can find a way to build that chemistry and build that consistency, I mean, they're going to, he only got targeted 7+ times last season, five games with the Cowboys. He was obviously very vocal about not getting, being involved in the offense. Well, here, I don't think he's going to get out of most games without being targeted 10 times. So I think he's going to really rack up. I mean, if you're playing in a PPR league, I think Cole Beasley is a very nice later round option.
That's great news for America's favorite wide receiver slash rapper. It sounds like, you know, the narrative has been snagging Zay Jones and Robert Foster late, and those guys are going to be on the field, are going to be making an impact, but we're prioritizing John Brown and Cole Beasley in this offense.
Yeah, and I really like Robert Foster. I was impressed with what he was able to do as a rookie. But if the Bills hadn't made any changes and they were going into this, or even just brought in Beasley and it was going to be Foster and Zay on the outside, and I really think that the presence of John Brown is going to impact Robert Foster's fantasy value quite a bit. I don't think he's going to get the targets. I still think he's going to be on the field. I still think he's got the potential to be the big hitter. But when you're out there for 80% of the snaps, 50 or 40, just by simple math, you're just not getting the same kind of opportunities. So I would say that Robert Foster, you know, a late round flyer in most leagues, is worth it because of his big playability. But I think that, you know, from everything that we're seeing during training camp, you're seeing and here's another interesting thing, a little note to keep in mind. And this might be something that, you know, for deeper leagues or, you know, dynasty leagues, Andre Roberts, they brought him in here to be his Pro Bowl return man from last year from the Jets. They brought him in here to be their kick and punt return man. He is on the first team offense every day in practice, and they're lining him up everywhere. And I have this sneaking suspicion that they're planning, Brian Daboll's planning to use him in the offense, because what makes, you know, return men great is that they're playmakers. If you get them the ball in space and let them make some plays, they can be dangerous. And I think that that's the plan with Roberts. Obviously, he's never really clicked as a receiver in this league, but he has been running with the first team every day in practice. I would say he's gotten more first team reps in practice over the course of the last 3 weeks than Robert Foster.
This is why we're here, Matt. You're our eyes and ears. This is the information we're looking for. Thank you.
No problem.
The running back room in Buffalo poses a conundrum for fantasy gamers, but maybe you can help us sort this out. Is it gonna be Shady? Is it electric rookie Devin Singletary? Is it father time Frank Gore? Now we got Christian Wade, a former rugby star, in the mix. There's TJ Yeldon. I think the kid from Sixth Sense is in there too, maybe. how is this room gonna shake out onto the field?
Well, I'd first say that while Christian Wade has been an unbelievable story and he's so fun to be around, he's not really in the mix. He just started, you know, learning to play professional football less than a year ago. So he's got so many skills and he's so athletic, so fast. And we saw that with the 65-yard touchdown run against the Colts, but it was against their third team defense. And, you know, the way that he held the handoff was wrong. And after he scored the touchdown, he didn't even know what to do next, because in rugby, after you score, you stay on the field or you go back to midfield. For whatever that is in rugby, like the face-off or whatever. And so from a just football knowledge standpoint, he has so much work things to do just to be able to be a consistent player in practice. So he is part of the International Pathway Program. He's guaranteed a spot on the practice squad. So the goal with that is to get a guy that's trying to transition into this to a new sport, get him a full year on an NFL roster without costing that NFL team a roster spot. So he'll be on the practice squad. I'm almost 95% sure of that. And then you take a look at this running back room. They're going to keep LeSean McCoy. They're going to give the ball to LeSean McCoy. This is the last year of his contract. They're $23 million under the cap right now. So freeing up the $6 million that they'd free up by cutting McCoy or trading McCoy doesn't really make a lot of sense. There's not a lot of market out there for him, so they're not going to get a third round pick or a fourth round pick back for him. So he's going to be in the mix. They're hoping that he has enough left in the tank to really make an impact this season, and he's motivated. Listen, LeSean McCoy is a very proud guy. He is about his numbers. He is about his bid at the Hall of Fame when he's done. He's been talking about the chase for 12K for the last two seasons, and you know, he's a prideful guy, and it did not go well for him last year. So they're hoping that with, you know, the pieces that they brought in on this offensive line, he and Frank Gore can provide a good 1-2 punch for the Bills. And then the wild card is Devin Singletary, because I will say over the course of the last, you know, since rookie minicamp, going back to the spring, he's looked like the best running back on this roster, far and away. His vision and his quickness are evident on every time he has the ball in his hands. The knock on him coming out of Florida Atlantic was he didn't catch the ball enough out of the backfield, so they didn't ask him to do it. Well, they're doing that now in training camp, and he's looked better than any of the running backs they have, including T.J. Yeldon, who's kind of known as that dual threat, third down back, who can catch the ball, block, and everything. T.J. Yeldon's got a very uphill battle to make this roster, because they have Sonoris Perry, who I think has passed him on the depth chart as a runner, and he is a special teams dynamo. Great blocker, great tackler. And he's a big physical runner, and Sean McDermott likes that. So I think what ends up happening here is they have the 1-2 punch in Gore and McCoy. They're going to test the waters with that, see how it's working. Devin Singletary is going to be sprinkled in until it's necessary that he's so good that they need to get him on the field. T.J. Yeldon, I don't think, is going to be on the roster. And then Sonoris Perry will be your fourth depth guy and a special teams contributor.
From a dynasty perspective, are we investing in Devin Singletary this season?
100%. I just did a dynasty rookie draft with a couple of 12 buddies from college. We do we only draft rookies every year, and we keep the rest of our team. And he went, I think, late second round. And that is absolutely crazy. If he is there at the end of your first round of your rookie draft, he is a bona fide must grab player. Like, this is a guy that's, like, I think, going to have an impact in every area of the game. And he's developing as a pass blocker, which gets you on the field a little bit more as a rookie when you can kind of come around on that end of things. It's where he's kind of struggled a little bit early on, but you're seeing some progression. So I think that he has the ability. You know, we just saw in 9 carries and 3 catches in the preseason game, everybody was talking about him after the game, because just the way that he runs, you know, he reminds me a little bit of Thurman Thomas. Actually, it's funny because, you know, in the way that, you know, he's able to take that first hit and stay upright and keep going forward, he's got a little bit of that in him. Obviously, that's a Hall of Fame running back and a tough comparison for a third-round running back as a rookie. But, yeah, I definitely say, you know, get in while the stock is low.
I have a draft this weekend, so let me just write this down. Draft Devin Singletary. Okay, cool. We're rounding towards the finish. Let's talk about the tight ends. It's a group that seems a bit dubious in Buffalo, but there could be some value there. New addition Tyler Kroft broke his foot, but he's on the mend. And there's reports that Dawson Knox is in line to be on the field a lot. I know a lot of Dynasty gamers like him. Can you tell us about how his camp has been? I know he's had some hamstring issues. How is this room going to shake out on the field?
Yeah, he hasn't been on the field. He injured himself in the first padded practice, back 3 days into training camp. So with Tyler Kroft, who they went out and signed to a 3-year deal from Cincinnati in free agency, who they, you know, had expected to be their number one tight end, and I still think that that's the plan if he's able to get back by the opener. He broke his foot on the first day of OTAs, and it's the same foot he broke last year. So there's definitely concern amongst the staff about, you know, Tyler Kroft's not only availability, which isn't there right now, but, you know, his ability to stay on the field. So then after Tyler Kroft, you go to Dawson Knox, and he's been out after really showing well in minicamp, but it's been seventh round draft pick out of Boston College, Tommy Sweeney, that's just taken the opportunity and run with it. I put up a story last night, actually, about Lee Smith, who they re-signed to a 4-year deal to be that kind of second to third tight end, blocking tight end. He said he's seen a lot of guys in this league, and he's been super impressed with both Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney. He thinks Tommy Sweeney can be a really dynamic pass catcher. And we've seen that in practice. Josh Allen's been going his way. Josh Allen already seems to have some trust and faith in him. So that's a cool story. But I think a lot of it's up in the air right now. This is practice. This is the preseason. When you get to real games, Dawson Knox is going to be available. Dawson Knox didn't have a lot of production at Ole Miss because he was playing with DK Metcalf and AJ Brown. So there's still kind of some skeptics when it comes to how is he going to be able to consistently produce at this level after not having a whole lot of opportunity at Ole Miss. So I would stay away from a lot of these tight ends until you kind of see something. I think Dawson Knox is a really nice dynasty option as a guy that, you know, because of his quick, and we have seen it, his quickness, his ability to make plays, his route running is very strong for a young tight end. So I think he'd be somebody maybe to consider stashing. And, you know, if there are injury problems and we get to that, you know, halfway point of the season and, you know, some tight ends are hurt and you're looking for on the waiver wire, if Sweeney's going to play, I definitely think he's worth considering if he's going to be this Bills team number one tight end at any point this season.
I do know there are some guys out there that love them some Tommy Sweeney, so that makes them happy. And I encourage them to check out your article, because if you've been listening to this guy, he knows it all. He knows his stuff. He knows his team. Thank you, Matt, for joining us. We have one question left. You kind of answered it already, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to either double down on Cole Beasley hype or give us something new. So what is your boldest fantasy prediction for the Buffalo Bills in 2019?
Ooh, well, I'll go back to my bold predictions that I put out, and I really do believe this because of the everything that we've talked about and the improved offensive line, that Josh Allen is going to attack 4,000 yards passing this season. I think that should be the expectation. You look at a guy, a big arm quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who threw for 5,000. And I think that, you know, you take Mitchell Trubisky's season, his jump from year one to year two, and he finished last year around 3,200 yards. He doesn't have the arm that Josh Allen has. I don't think he has the weapons that Josh Allen now has. So I think that, you know, there should be a considerable jump if Josh Allen can stay healthy and play in 16 games. He has one of the best pass blocking centers in front of him in football. The Bills made Mitch Morse the highest paid center in the league this past offseason. He's in the concussion protocol. It's his fourth concussion in his five NFL seasons, documented concussions. So that's obviously an issue, but he's progressing towards the end of the protocol and the process to get back. So I think the expectation is, without anybody in the organization be able to say it because they can't talk about it, is that he'll be ready for week one. And they've really bolstered this offensive line. They moved Cody Ford from right tackle into right guard, where most draft pundits believe that he can be, you know, Pro Bowl caliber type of player. They brought in Ty Insecki from Washington to put it right tackle. And then on the left side is Deion Dawkins, and Quentin Spain moved over, 48 starts in 4 years with Tennessee. So they've really bolstered that offensive line in front of Josh Allen. He's going to have more time to pass. He has more weapons, and this has to compute if we're talking about, you know, a seventh overall draft pick from 2018 with the kind of arm talent that Josh Allen has. I mean, that's just the expectation.
Matt, you've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
I'm on Twitter. That's probably the best place to find me, at Matt Parrino, P-A-R-R-I-N-O. Have you covered with all your Bills content? I know NFL fans across the country just starve for some Bills Mafia content, so you can find me on Twitter, and I'll have everything up to there. And you know what it is, though? I joke, but I do think Josh Allen is this super interesting, you know, case study for football fans. He doesn't – we were just talking about this on Twitter with a few people this morning, and there's not a lot of people that have come into this league to play quarterback and are like Josh Allen. You know, the way that he moves, the way that he throws, but with the way that he throws, the accuracy concerns. So tracking him, the polarization of just him as a potential elite quarterback, I think makes it interesting. And I'm pretty excited that that's my job, is to cover that over the course of the next 4 or 5 years and maybe beyond.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was so polarizing in the draft process, but I think from what we've seen of him on the NFL field, he looks like a pro. He's got some development to do, but it's exciting. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do this year.
Definitely.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks again for hopping on, and have a great season until next year.
All right. Thank you.
Josh Allen, 4,000 yards. Cole Beasley, 100 catches. This guy knows this team. This is what he's saying. They were bold predictions, but that's what this time of year is all about. Guess what? If you made it here, you are now dialed in.